Welcome again to Cottage Talk. I'm Russ Goldman, of course, and with me today will be David Holly, Mike Gregg, and Curtis Hurd. This episode will be previewing the upcoming massive match for Fulham against MK Dons at Craven Cottage on Saturday. We have much to get through. It looks like one of my co-hosts is already on the line with me, and I'm going to bring him on. Mike, how you doing, my friend?
Yeah, hi, Russ. Really good. Good to be back on the show. We've all had a couple of weeks break, and we're building up to a very big game tomorrow. And, I'm really happy to talk about it with Dave and Curtis and yourself. And, lots to talk about, really.
We have a ton to get through. Also want to just touch base a little bit about the international break and what players stood out, what Fulham players stood out, and also talk about the Dallas Cup. I watched some of the Dallas Cup. It was very good stuff, very, very good situation for Fulham. I wanted them to win, but they did get to the final. We'll be talking about that a little bit. It looks like Mr. Holly, I believe, is on the line with us. David Holly, how you doing?
Hello, Russ. Can't remember a spell where I haven't spoken to you for such a long time. I've completely switched off from Fulham and football, tried to get the worries away from me, be busy on other things, end of financial year for me, yep, for my business. So been doing all that stuff, keep myself busy with that, bit of tennis, bit of football, taking all the skin off my knees on the AstroTurf, as you do when you go down, in a few crunching tackles. So completely fresh coming into this now. Anyway, so not really thought about Fulham for a couple of weeks, tried to avoid it really. So back into it, and you can surprise me and throw it all at me because I don't know what you're going to throw at me today.
That's fine, David. And Curtis should be joining us shortly. Hopefully he will be getting in. And we'll be going through this. And listen, we have a great deal to go through. I needed a break, too. I think we all needed to take a break, refresh ourselves, and get ready into this massive match. And certainly we'll be spending a good amount of time talking about that. But very interesting, guys. I was sent some bonus audio from Fulham Football Club. I want to thank James Wyatt from Fulham Football Club for sending this to us so we could play during the show. This is an interview done with Marcus Bettinelli. It's only a couple minutes long, but I'm going to start the show by playing this from Bet. Sound good?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, why don't we start the show, and that'll give Curtis a couple minutes to join us as well. So, again, this is an interview done with Fulham Football Club with Marcus Bettinelli.
Yeah, it was a long time coming for me. It was a really sort of emotional day. Obviously, because it was all the hard work I've been putting in over the last six, 7 months. I think it was actually 7 months to the day. I got told the other day. So, it was lovely. It was great to be back out there. It was great playing football again. It was great sort of having that buzz and feeling of being back out there. And it was just, it was a good day all round. And, it was a good result in the end. And it felt great that I was out there helping the lads again. I think there's always that sort of sense of like butterflies for the game. That's what I usually get, and it was no different again. So at the same time, I've been away for so long, it felt like I'd been away at all. Usually before the game is a little bit nervous, and then once the game starts, you're straight into it and you concentrate on the game and you sort of forget about everything else. And it felt great to be back out there just with all the hard work that I put in. Yeah, I mean, the first half, I didn't really know too much about it. It sort of just hit me, and obviously the second one was a good save. But, yeah, look, I'm there to sort of defend the goal. That's, a goalkeeper's obviously job. And, when the back four were brilliant at St Andrews, they really was. I can't sort of name one individual because all of them were so good. We defended really well. Everyone knew it wasn't a pretty game, but we had to get a result. And we went there and we did get a result, and a good result. And, it felt great making saves, and, it always does, but at the moment, it's not about me making saves. It's about us getting 3 points on the board or a point on the board, and we managed to do that out there. Yeah, it'd probably be one of the biggest sort of games that I've played in terms of where we are in the league, and in terms of how we've been going this season. So it's going to be a great feeling. I mean, hopefully I do get picked. Obviously, I've got to see what happens tomorrow and Saturday. But I'm excited. At the same time, obviously, we're all well aware of where we are and what we need to do. So, it's going to be an interesting game. I'm sure the fans will turn out and give us a great reception like they usually do. And I'm just, so excited if I do get picked to run back out there again at the Cottage because I missed it. That's what I've put all the hard work in the gym for. You know, the fans have been brilliant with me on social media over the last, what, 6-7 months, keeping in touch with me, keeping tabs on me, you know, and hopefully we can go out there on Saturday and, you know, put in a good result and get a much needed 3 points.
Okay, that was an interview done with Fulham goalkeeper Marcus Bettinelli. I want to thank again James Wyatt for sending that over to me that we could play during the show. All right, before I get your take on what Marcus had to share and obviously his return, it looks like Curtis is on the line with us. Curtis, how you doing? Welcome back to the show.
Hi, Russ. I'm doing all right, thanks. I've been looking forward to the show and got a chance now to do the preview and the post-match. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, great. Listen, it's great to have you back on, Curtis. I don't know if you had a chance to listen to the interview I just played with Marcus Bettinelli. What are your thoughts about his return?
I'm very pleased for him. Andy Lonergan has just had that dip in form, I think, over the last few games, and it's vital that we get someone in goal that's on form. Marcus is obviously, like he said, 7 months out. He'll want to be getting on the pitch. He'll want to be proving himself again. And Andy Lonergan, he's had a good time since Marcus has been out. But now competition's heating up now and should be good. And I'm pleased with Marcus because, you know, it's horrible being on the sidelines. And I'm pleased because it's beneficial for the club, really.
I totally agree. And it's really great to have him back. And honestly, it's a very good time for him to come back in this stretch end of the season. So I'm glad that he was able to come back. It was very nice that James sent us the audio. We could hear his thoughts. And Mike, I'm going to go to you. What are your thoughts about the return of Betts? And also anything stick out to you with what he shared in that interview?
Yeah, it was, it's good to see him back. And he had a good performance at Birmingham. And it's an important run for the club, but it's also an important run for him these next few games, because he needs to show Jokanović what he can do. Because, you know, if you believe everything you read, we did go for a goalkeeper in January, he's got to be looking towards next season as well, hasn't he? Who's going to be there competing? So yes, it's good he's back. We spoke about him on the last show we did together, Russ, and I said he's got the edge, you know, by his age and his, you know, his movement, if you like, you know, how athletic he is. But, you know, all our goalkeepers suffer from the same thing, and that's coming out and collecting the ball, you know, controlling that 6 to 10 yards in front of them. And, you know, he's a good shot stopper, and I'm pretty sure he's going to be busy tomorrow, because every goalkeeper we have is always busy. So, but it's really good. It's really good he's back, and there's a nice comment about the fans on social media. I think Bettinelli's one of the players who the fans have a real affinity for, and he doesn't get too much of the idiots having a go at him. So yeah, we're all happy he's back, and let's hope he can turn in a good performance tomorrow.
Okay, let me ask you before I go to David, because David always has thoughts on goalkeepers. Just in general, you were talking about that he doesn't command his box, and that was something someone we always complained about, Andy Lonergan. Thoughts on this? Do you think that with experience, that should improve?
With experience and coaching, and, you know, it's telling that Tim Flowers has come in, and, you have to wonder what kind of effect he's going to have on the goalkeepers at the moment, because we've spoken about it before. We've got loads of goalkeepers in the squad, and Jonrin played for Finland the other day as well. So, and that's before you get to Magnus Norman and Rudex and everyone else. So, he will improve. He's young. Most goalkeepers don't become really good until their late 20s, do they? So he's got loads of time in front of him, but we need him to be doing it sooner rather than later.
I totally agree with that, Mike. All right, David, your thoughts on Marcus Bettinelli's return and also the audio clip that I just played.
Obviously, on a personal basis, of course, it's great for him, regardless of whether he's playing for local Sunday team, you know, a kick about club like I play for, whether you're playing professional football, you know, to get back after a period of injury and absence is great, because it, you know, I can speak personally from that after my own issues that it's been great to be back playing football again. And obviously it's for someone whose career depends on it, even better so. So it's great news that after such a terrible injury, you know, he's back playing football and back to full fitness again, and just now needs the game time under his hand. So that's great for him. From Fulham's point of view, I think this was probably one of the worst kept secrets ever. I think we all predicted, you know, that we would see him against Birmingham, as was the case. A lot of people were suggesting that. The thing that got us, obviously, with Birmingham was the rest of the selection and the tactics was completely random, and, you know, I don't think anyone would have picked that in a million years. But it's great to see him back, and picking up from what Mike had said, you know, goalkeepers, they, you know, reach their peak later than other footballers. Absolutely true. We've seen, you know, people go on well into their 30s, and even later, people like Schwartz, of course, had a great spell for us even coming up to 40. And in Lonergan's case, I think he's reached his peak, and we've seen the best out of Lonergan you're going to see. You know, he's
right.
Done the best he
I
can
agree
for
with
us. That, you know, that's him playing his best, I think, you know. And in some areas, you can't really fault him. You know, one-on-ones and stuff, it's been great. But as you know, we've all had these complaints, and, well, obviously I've had these complaints, and other people seem to be kind of taking that view as well now about dealing with long-range shots, dealing with crosses, commanding his box, and it's just not quite good enough. As a second-choice goalkeeper who plays occasionally, has to get you out of a hole, you can't complain. But for a first-choice goalkeeper, it's not good enough. I don't know about, you know, Marcus Bertinelli commanding his area. He tries. He does come off his line and he tries. He doesn't always get it right. We have seen him come off his line and miss the ball. But at least he's got that inclination to try that. And as Mike said, you know, with the right coaching and everything in place, you know, Tim Flowers hopefully could do a good job. We can develop that. You know, you
right.
Look at something the other night. I don't know if you saw this. Russ Mike would have seen it, I'm sure. The England against Netherlands match at Wembley on Tuesday.
I did see the match.
The Dutch keeper was off his line all the time. He was coming
yes,
a long, long way off his line to claim the ball. Okay, we made it easy for him. Some of the delivery from James Milner wasn't good enough, and others, the corners weren't good enough. But he was straight out. It takes all the pressure off your defence when you've got a goalkeeper like that. I've been saying it for weeks and months, and, you know, I say it as much as the table doesn't lie almost. You know, getting back to the Mark Schwartz thing again, he comes out, he claims the ball, takes the pressure off your defence. I think this is like, you know, part of the jigsaw as to why our defence has been so crap since we've lost Schwartz. And, you know, we've lost that string to our bow. We've been completely reliant on the central defenders to do the job. And they haven't been up to it, unfortunately, not on their own. And so if you can get a goalkeeper, if you can coach Bertinelli to come and claim everything and win it, and I think he wants to do that. The worst thing now would be him to get his confidence knocked by either poor coaching or by someone telling him, no, just stay on your line. You know, don't come out, don't make a mistake, stay on your line. He's going to have to, you know, learn the hard way, unfortunately.
Right.
Come off your line and claim the ball, and with the right coach, maybe he can be the goalkeeper for us. But as Mike said, you know, we've got goalkeepers coming out of our ears at Fulham. There must be, between all of them, there must be a good one somewhere. And it's clear that, you know, as Mike said again, Slavisa was looking at goalkeepers in the January window. So I think he realises that Lonergan wasn't good enough. Obviously, he hasn't had a chance to look at Bertinelli yet. So if Bertinelli can, you know, perform a bit for him now in this few games and have a bit of luck as well, then maybe he can, you know, he can be the man for the future. Because I hope he can, because he's shown a lot of promise for a very young goalkeeper. So, you know, that's what we want, homegrown players, if we can, in the team. He showed his commitment to Fulham, you know, when there was talk of the other team in Fulham signing him. He signed a contract, and unfortunately after that he got that terrible injury. But he's back, and let's hope that, you know, it all goes well for him. But he, you know, he's relying on his defence as well to help him out, and this is going to be very interesting to see, you know, what happens tomorrow.
I totally agree, David. And just before we move on from this topic, you know, I'm fascinated by this because I think you nailed it when you said that Lonergan is who he is right now, David. He's as good as he's going to be. But it sounds like you agree with my thoughts that Marcus Bertinelli is not at his peak yet, and if he takes to coaching, he could end up being a very good goalkeeper. You would back me on that, correct?
Surely, yeah. I mean, he's got plenty of time still to develop and improve his skills. I think he's definitely got the potential to be a top goalkeeper. And as you know, that should be testament by the fact if there's any truth in the rumours that the other team in Fulham were after him. So, you know,
sure.
Obviously they realise he has potential as well. You know, we've seen this
okay.
with other players. You know, people like Chris Smalling, who really at Fulham wasn't good enough. He couldn't get in the team. He couldn't displace Hanglin and Hughes. But Manchester United saw something in him. And now, you know, he's first choice for them and he's first choice for England. I
yes.
wouldn't say he was my favourite player ever, but, you know, someone took a chance on him as a young player with potential and developed that. And that's what you need with Bettinelli.
I totally agree. Very good conversation about bets. All right, guys, let's move on. I have just a couple topics I don't want to spend too much time on because I want to spend the majority of the show talking about the match. Let's go on the round table, and Mike, I'm going to go to you. What are your thoughts on the contributions of the Fulham players for their countries during the international break? What player stood out for you, Mike?
Okay, I mean, I'm not going to dwell too much on the senior guys. You know, it was good to see McCormick play for Scotland and Williams play for Wales and that. But for me, it's, you know, the under-21 lads, Evans and Donnelly, they played for their respective countries. But it's the under-17 England players who qualified. You know, Dennis Adrian and Ryan Sessegnon, you know, really good results when they played and they qualified for the championships. And, you know, to have two English players in that squad is excellent. And when you consider Ryan's only 15 as well. So, you know, for me, they're the standouts. And, as you know, big fan of the youngsters. So hopefully they can push on and have a good tournament. And we'll see them in the under-18s or if not higher, as I've seen them this year as well.
Okay, very good take there, Mike. All right, Curtis, over to you. What player stood out for you during the international break?
Well, the main thing that stands out for me is Ryan Sessegnon, new Patrick Roberts, I think. And he's a very good player for his age and playing in the year group above and had his England under-17s debut. And he's got a lot of potential ahead of him. And yeah, that was the main standout one for me, really. But it's, apart from that, it's promising and good to see Emerson Hyman and Liam Donnelly captaining their international team for the United States and the Northern Ireland in their age group. And I know Emerson isn't staying with us next season, but it's really reassuring, you know, to see good talent come from our academy, like Ryan Sessegnon. Like I said earlier, and people like Stephen Humphreys, Josh Small, you know, people like that from the like Dallas Cup team, even Aaron Davis, is really refreshing to see players like that coming through. And international level for them is only just going to boost their confidence and their ability and get them ready for under 18 level and under 21, bring them through to the main Fulham team, hopefully. But apart from that, Ross McCormack getting the go-ahead up front for Scotland, getting his assist in his first game, it was good and pleasing for him to get away from the squad, as I think he's probably the most frustrated man in the Championship right now. He could be playing for the Premiership team easily, and with interest from clubs like, you know, Bournemouth, Swansea, Sunderland, and also that major interest from Middlesbrough, plus more Premier League clubs last winter, it just gets him more frustrated, you know. And I'm glad the window's passed now for that, so he can focus more on Fulham. Other international duty, George Williams, yeah, really good for Wales. He's a really good player, promising, you know, quick, sharp, and it's just a real shame, really, that Slavisa doesn't play a system where it involves George and Ben Pringle and Kakaniklic, and people like that. And, you know, because it would be really good for George to be playing in the Championship. And that's the league where we'll challenge him the most to bring out his potential, I think. And he's playing at Gillingham. But I just think it's too lower level. If he's playing full international level, I think that's a bit too low for him, and I think the Championship would be perfect to bring out his potential, but it's just, like I say, a shame that Slavisa doesn't play that.
I'm glad that you brought up George. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Curtis.
So, yeah, the international break would benefit the players going away, I think, and for Fulham, the ones that have been there at Motspur Park, I think it's made them, you know, a bit more rested, but at the same time a bit more frustrated because they want to go out and they know maybe with the squad we have, we should be a little bit higher up the league, but we haven't proved it, so they'll be itching to get out on that pitch tomorrow and they'll be wanting to prove that they should be higher in the league.
I totally agree with that, Chris. Very good take. And glad, like I said, I'm glad that you brought up George. Also, Emerson Hyman, before we move on, I'm going to share my thoughts on Emerson Hyman. I got to watch him play in both matches, and he's gotten huge praise over here, and I'll talk a little bit about that to wrap up the topic. But, David, I want to get your thoughts about the players that were playing for their countries in the international break. What stood out for you?
Well, to be honest with you, I think Curtis and Mike have covered it all pretty well. I probably took a bigger share than I should on the goalkeeper discussion, so I'm keep it brief on this one. But I'm just happy,
okay.
Really. I'm happy that everyone seems to have come back in one piece, no injuries, and we have basically a fully fit squad as far as we're concerned.
Okay, very good there, David. Like I said, just to mention, I did watch Emerson Hyman, and when I tell you that so many people are talking about him here, it's not even funny. The football community here is all about Emerson Hyman. In fact, I did another podcast for a local radio station, and the host of the show said the only player that really showed anything in the second match of the under-23 Olympic qualifier, unfortunately the U.S. men's national team did not win, was Emerson Hyman, and I agree with him 100%. I thought he was the best player in both matches for the U.S. Men's under-23, and he's got a bright future. I wish it was with Fulham, guys. I don't think it's going to be, but if I was Fulham, I would still continue to try to see if he will stay because he's got serious talent, and I think he could be an asset moving forward. But you know, he's free to do whatever he wants at the end of the season. I would love to see him stay with the club. All right, guys. Second topic is talking about the Dallas Cup. I got to watch the final. I got to watch bits and pieces of other matches. Mike, I'm going to start with you. What are your thoughts about the Fulham under-19s getting to the final?
Well, yeah, it was a really good performance. And considering they were a late call-up to the tournament, and what was it, five games in 8 days or 9 days or something. And,
crazy, yeah.
Yeah, really good interview with Steve Wigley. I don't know if you saw that.
I recommend everyone watching that, by the way, yes.
Yeah, so he explained a lot about that. And, you know, all the guys got game time as well and putting good performances. We had, well, I think even over there you had problems actually seeing certain games and the feed wasn't very good. And, you know, I have to thank Keith Harris for his Skyping of the final, which I know a number of people did watch, and
I watched.
But
yep.
But some of the goals and the performances, and I just think back to the show we did with Frankie and all the players we mentioned. You know, Aaron Davis, Norman, you know, Humphreys. They all produced, and you know, I was really pleased with players like Marlon Fossey, who's, you know, still young, still learning. And it was such a good mix of team. And for Josh Smile as well, who, you know, he was in the Youth Cup team a couple of years ago. And he's been shunted around the midfield to make way for senior players recently, you know, getting game time. But he just keeps applying, you know, working hard. And I thought he captained the team really well. So overall, great experience. You know, we've raised our profile again in that youth tournament. It'd be good if we can go back again next year. And it's, I suppose, in a way, it's a pity we had to play Everton. They are a good side, and we've got to play them again soon as well in the under-18s. And, you know, there's a couple of players whose reputations are a bit higher now. You know, some of the Fulham fans with no football to really, senior football to follow, you know, suddenly looked at him and, oh, yeah, oh, Humphrey, Davis, you know, these are names I don't really know. Well, you're going to know them sooner or later. And, you know, there's some good players in there, but it's a good team. And I think that's the difference to the last good squad that we had. You know, you had Dembele, you had Roberts, you had Heidman and that. You know, they were your superstars. Whereas this team, there's some really good players in there, but it's a team and they're going to grow up together. And the only hope is that we can keep them together a lot longer than the last one.
Okay, very good there, Mike. And I just want to mention a couple of players. I remember doing the show with you and Frankie that stood out for me. You've already named them. I thought that Aaron Davis was as advertised by you, and Magnus Norman I thought was excellent, Mike.
Yeah, well, you heard it here first, didn't you? you know I'm a big fan of Magnus Norman. You know,
I know you are.
Such
and,
a young,
and I could see, yeah, and honestly, I could see why. I could see why on both players, actually. And, you know,
yeah.
Another player that stood out for me was Stephen Humphries and the other striker. I forget his name. You could probably say it
Josh
better
Walker.
Than me, so why don't you say it?
Well, the other striker is Josh Walker, unless you're talking about the you're talking about the unpronounceable one, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I don't want to go anywhere near there.
No. I'll leave that one as well. But No, there's some good lads. There's some really good lads there. And but Aaron Davis for me is a year, 2 years ahead where he should be, I think.
Okay.
You know, he's not ready for the first team at all. But Norman, if I saw him on the team sheet, I wouldn't even bat an eyelid. I really wouldn't, because I like him that much.
Okay, very good. Curtis, over to you. Your thoughts about the accomplishments of the under-19s in the Dallas Cup?
Well, the youngsters in the Dallas Cup getting to the final is a great achievement, I think. And as well as most of the players, we're younger than the other teams, I think. And it's just how unlucky how we went down to a good Everton team in the final, but fair play to the Fulham squad and Steve Wigley for getting there. They've represented the club well and they put us in a good position for an invitation back, and as it's a really good experience for the players playing in bigger stadiums against good opponents with some different styles of play, types of players and a range of countries involved, so they can be pleased with their achievements, and hopefully we'll go back next year and another group of players can get the chance and hopefully do what they do and go the extra further of actually winning.
Okay, very good there, Curtis. All right, David, your final thoughts on this topic and we'll move on.
Well, I bow to Mike's superior knowledge on these things. I know Mike follows the under-21s and the under-18s closely, so I'm not going to try and, you know, say anything more. He sees his players a lot. I see them very, very briefly. So you get me on things I can talk about, goalkeepers and senior stuff, it's fine. But on this, I think it was just great from an overall point of view that despite the kind of late call-up and obviously, I guess, relative lack of preparation, that, you know, we did ourselves, you know, no disservice at all, really. It was a great thing overall, and great. It's got to be a great experience for the guys. I think the other thing I can probably bow to a better experience than you guys on is the pronunciations of the Polish players, and I assume you're talking about Mikołaj, yeah? Is he?
No. I was talking about
Kwiatkowski. Oh, right. Sorry, I beg your pardon. Which one was that then?
No, that's very good, though, David. I'm actually very impressed. I'm very impressed by that. It's very good.
Well, I remember I'm the official translator at the moment to Gentleman Jim when we get Polish players on
you
the
are.
Opposition.
You are. Very good. Very good there, my friend. All right, guys. We've got about a half hour left to the show to set up our preview of this massive match tomorrow. I do have Slavice's interview done earlier today with Sarah Brooks. I'm going to play that now. We'll talk about that briefly, and then we'll get into our own preview. Sound good?
Yeah.
Okay, fantastic. All right. Without further ado, here is Slavica.
Slavica, firstly, just after the international break, have all the players come back fit well? Have you got a full squad to choose from for tomorrow's fixture?
all the international players back fit with, without any problem. We are in this 2 weeks. I believe we are resting very well and we are working very well. This time we use for improve ourselves, for clear our mind and for be ready what is front of us. It's definitely it's very important game front of us against MK Dons, but in same time it's not last game. It's independent of the result. We need after this game fighting and compete for 21 point more. And it's very important for us be mentally prepared for what is this month, this April is gonna be very very important for us. And after the MK Dons game, we need to be ready for Preston and for Cardiff game, what is immediately after Saturday game. It's we need more of 3 points for save us, and in one game we can win only three.
You made a number of changes against Birmingham. Were you pleased with those changes and with the performance, even though it was only a point, but with that resilient performance that we showed at St Andrews?
Yes, it's my team follow my plan, and we try play a little bit different, and they interpret it very well. It's especially we play very good first time. It's we repeat some mistake from last game in second time against Birmingham too, and it's generally we will be more competitive. We will be more close for the win the game. It's probably they will be very confident during the game. And we need to build our especially our mentality and our confidence for games what is front of us.
You talked a little bit about sacrificing some of your football principles for making sure that the basics were right, making sure that it was a good, solid performance, even though it might not be as pretty as you would like to see the team play football. Is that fair?
More or less. It's, I believe where you play good football, you have more chances for win the game. It's generally in many games in these 3 months we play many good games, a good part of the games, but this way don't give us enough good results, and it's a little bit modified our schedule and a little bit modified where we want to play the football and what it's on, where we want to combine that, where it's zone where we need complicate little bit less, bring us and choice something little bit different. What I believe, what is my football philosophy.
Fulham staying in this league is incredibly important, and it has been said that the pressure therefore is on Fulham tomorrow and the next home game and the away game. How do you see that pressure, and how are the players reacting to that?
It's true. It's very important for us. Have to be very important for all the team. But I am a responsibility here in Fulham, and it's very important for myself, for my player, for all the club, and for supporters to understand we are in this moment, and we are in situation where we actually right now. We are not dead. We are still available and strong for fighting this for 24 points. What is front of us, and our obligation is be available and be 100% concentrated for especially this April, what is very exciting front of us.
And with two home games, how important are the fans to help the players, to boost the players?
I cannot complain about our fans, because it's away fans, our home fans. They always be back of us. They always push us for make better job. We are still debt them something, some better performance or some victory for give them chance enjoying a little bit more with us. I understand and I accept we don't give them so many happy afternoons this year. We are obligated offer them something different what we offer them in from this moment.
We wish you luck tomorrow.
Thank you so much.
Okay, guys, we are back, and that was an interview done earlier today with the Fulham head coach, Slavisa Jokanović, by Director of Communications, Sarah Brooks, and we're going to be talking about that briefly. But, Mike, before we do, I actually been practicing before this interview ended, and the player I was going to try to remember his name and say his name with the under-19s was Elijah Adebayo, and I think I said it correctly.
Oh.
But he did flash. I watched him play against the U.S. under-20 team, and he was quite impressive coming off the bench. That was the player I was talking about.
Yeah, well, he was a centre-back.
I know.
You know, they're trying him in a different position, and, you know, he's learning the game again in a way. But, yeah, I mean, and it goes back to, you know, he's one of those players who's been around the last year, but there's a bit of competition. There's one thing. He got Humphreys, Josh Walker, but we're lacking numbers of strikers, and so
right.
I think that's why he's been adapted. And yeah, good luck to him. And yeah, he did well against the US team.
He did. I watched the match, and you know, he was quite impressive, very very imposing and very confident. And it was good to see him. I didn't know who he was, and then they kept saying his name. That's why I was a little nervous to say it. So I was practicing before he came back. For the interview, and I think I got it right. All right, Mike, I will start with you. What did you take out of the interview done earlier today with Slavisa?
Well, I think in a little way, while agreeing that, you know, it's a big game, and he's taken the longer picture, and I think he's trying to lower the pressure and the build-up on tomorrow's game. So, you know, he's mentioned that, you know, there's 24 points to play for, and you know, even if we lose, it's not the end, you know, so we're not relegated, just, you know, something bad happens tomorrow. So I think it was I don't want to use the word downplaying it, but, you know, he was trying to not put so much pressure, I think, about tomorrow's game. And you can sense his frustration. He's as frustrated with results and performances, and he's right. At certain times we have played well. And then it is silly mistakes. It's not, you know, the vast majority are silly mistakes. Dave would hate it if I said it's got anything to do with luck. But we haven't had much of that either. So, but it's a typical, you know, pre-match interview that he gives. He's looking for that win. He wants to give us good news, and he's frustrated by the results. But for me, the message was important game, but let's not go over the top. There's other games left as well, but it is key. And as usual, he doesn't give too much away about teams. But, you know, from Sarah's questioning, the Birmingham game, I think, was a little bit one-off. It was pick a team, get a result. You watched the game as well, Russ, and I told you how we didn't muck around. We just got rid of the ball, you know, upfield or into the stands at times. I don't think we'll be doing that. I think we're going to revert back to a bit more of an attacking option, and that's what we've got to do. We've got to take the game. It's our home game, and MK Dons will go there, play football, but they will sit back to counter-attack. So we need to... We need to take it to them. So I think we'll see a change in formation and a change in a couple of the players as well.
I totally agree. And before I go to David, I agree with how you analyzed that. I thought it was a little bit of taking the pressure off of this match and make it about the big picture, all the matches coming up. I understand why he's doing that. But, you know, for us fans, obviously, and this match is massive. He's trying. I wouldn't say downplaying it, but I think he's trying to look at it as a whole, and I understand why he was going there. David, over to you. Is that what you got out of it, what Mike said and what I said, that he's trying to look at, I guess you could say, the bigger picture?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I'd say on the side, I take your Elijah Adebayo, Russ, and I raise it to Mikołaj Kwietniewski, yeah? And to Mike,
that's fantastic, David. That's fantastic.
And to Mike, I say you make your own luck in this life, so luck's got nothing to do with it, yeah?
But, oh, boy.
Yeah, you get luck individually now and then, but over season, no, table doesn't lie and all that. But
okay.
I agree with what Mike was saying otherwise. I mean, to be honest with you, you know, I'm quite a purist. I don't always show it because I've favoured times and I say, well, we should pick Matt Smith and we should hoof it up and we should do that. But I'm like Mike, I want to see good football played. You know, I want to see a nice formation. I want to see width. I want to see pace. And the selection for Birmingham was horrific. It was obviously, you know, there to do a job. That was the idea. He's trying to grind out a result. But for me, that was only ever a kind of a formation that's going to, you know, a setup that's going to get you a draw. Okay,
sure.
You know, we got our noses in front, but we weren't able to hold on to it, unfortunately. But, you know, for me, that was a horrible lineup. And it's a real tough decision for me to think, like, would I like to see that lineup every week or would I rather risk being relegated? And, you know, I really don't know, to be honest with you. I'd like to see us try and do things the right way, like we did with Roy Hodgson. We saved ourselves playing football, and that's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see us save ourselves playing proper football, not doing it the dirty way. But to be honest with you, a draw at home tomorrow against MK Dons isn't good enough, so let's hope that that isn't the case. But Mike's totally right in what he says. We've all been saying, you know, this is the sort of the game of the season now. Must win this and we're safe, lose this and we're down. Obviously, it's not quite as cut and dried as that. And I think Slavici's got the right idea by trying to take the heat off the players.
Yep.
Because if they go out there nervous, as they've been at home, we know what's going to happen. We've seen it so many times this season already. You know, they're frightened to do anything. They just faff around with the ball. They make mistakes. They lose the ball, give away possession, and we get punished. So he's absolutely right. But once again, he's been pretty poker-faced, if that's the right expression to use on a sort of an audio clip, but you know what I mean, in the fact that he hasn't given a lot away. But I think we'll be going somewhere back towards the kind of lineups and formations we'd seen before Birmingham. Well, I hope so, certainly, because I want to see us, you know, I want to see us go to take the game by the scruff of the neck. I want us to see us to try and win the game. I don't want to see as trying to grind out a draw, really. I don't want to see a Birmingham. I don't want to see a Rotherham from last season. Let's go out and win the game properly and everything. And let's get a bit of a buzz about the place, hopefully. But with Slavica, who knows? He's, you know, we've seen both sides of him. We've seen the complete predictability where, you know, weeks and weeks, you know, we've been able to pick the team and the formation pretty much, you know, 10 out of 11, 11 out of 11 every week. And then suddenly he throws you a curveball, as you'd say over there, I guess, isn't it? And like he did against Birmingham, and we've also seen it in a few other games where we've suddenly seen, you know, things. And for me, it's not always been the right move because we've seen, for example, Reading away. He put Ross McCormack left midfield. I thought that was a bad move. I don't think it worked at all. He switched between four at the back, five at the back, five across the midfield, four across the midfield, three across the midfield even. And part of it, obviously, is experimentation to find the right lineup, and part of it is trying to, you know, play horses for courses.
Sure.
But, you know...
No, very good.
Yeah, you know, I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens tomorrow, but say Mike's right that although if we lose tomorrow, it will feel like the whole world has come down. Obviously, it doesn't necessarily mean the world has come down. There is still the other games. Okay, less games for you to get your five wins still, but there are still those games potentially.
Sure, David. And it's funny because while you were saying it, and then I want to move on because I want to get Curtis's thoughts on this. A couple things. First of all, when you were talking about Roy Hodgson, very good point talking about, you know, Roy Hodgson wanted us to play at home. But, David, you would agree that on the road, he set us up differently, and I think that might be not as drastic as Slavica did, you know, with his formation in Birmingham. But he did set us up, I thought, at times to play for the draw. It'd be difficult to beat. So there's a little bit of that, but I hear where you're going. David, you want to see them play football. I totally agree with you. The other thing that I want to say, David, And before I go to Chris, I want to get your thoughts on this. I thought in the Bristol City match, especially in some matches at home, the players seem to be afraid to lose. They play afraid to lose. That's how I felt when I watched back the match. Is that a fair assessment with you, David, that they got to play, especially in this upcoming match, with no fear? They can't be afraid to lose, David.
Well, it's part of the pressure of being at home, I think, as well. You know, the crowd at the Cottage are very jittery. I think that kind of vibe feeds through to the players. As soon as you get the first bad pass or first bad thing happens, you get these massive groans from the crowd, and you know, it feeds through to the players. And that's the problem. They're afraid to lose. They're afraid to make mistakes. They're afraid to try anything. They won't try a quick through ball or a quick first time ball.
Right.
They won't try and take people on because they're frightened of losing the ball. They're frightened of giving the ball away. So they'd rather hold on to the ball, and even if it means faffing around with it for ages, rather than lose it. And ultimately, the other team just get behind the ball and we lose the ball anyway. So I think you've got to be a bit brave here. And I hope that's something that's come from the coach. The coach has to encourage them to be brave, not be afraid to make a mistake. Because you're going to make mistakes anyway. So if you're going to faff around with it and lose the ball, you might as well be brave and lose the ball, I think.
David, I agree with you 100%. And over this break, that was one of the things that I was really thinking about. They need to play without fear. And he's talked about being brave a great deal. And he's right about that. They need to not be afraid to make that mistake, to take chances. Because, you know, unless you take chances, you know, you're not going to be able to succeed. You need to give yourself a chance to succeed. And instead of, like you said, just being afraid to make that pass, just go with it, make the pass, live with that opportunity that you might make a mistake because you might actually succeed, and you need to take the game to them. You need to play without fear. You need to take that risk, especially tomorrow. They need to take it to them. And I'm glad that Mike started off by saying that we're at home. You need to take it to this team and not let them breathe. And you need to really, from the beginning, do not let this team feel like they even have a shot at winning. They have to have that attitude tomorrow. All right, Kerr, sorry I went off on a little bit of a rant there. What are your thoughts about the interview with Slavisa?
Well, the first thing that came into my mind is there's no change in his voice from other interviews. It's completely normal. It's a completely normal pre-match interview. And he's done this, you know, for weeks now, where he's just sit there and he doesn't give much away. He's playing it down this time, and I agree with David on this one. I think it might be player nerves and just playing it down, not making it a big match because it will affect their playing, their attitude and everything towards the match. So it sounds calm, and he understands that the fans are frustrated, I think, and he praises the fans, but whether that's just to try and get them on board or whatever, because like David says, when a player gives the ball away or something, there's a massive groan by the crowd, and it's just, you know, the fans are fed up of seeing, you know, the mistakes, and there's not much desire anymore from the players, but he'll try and play attacking football despite this, and he'll try and really go for it and really put possession in the attacking third, and really, like you say, Russ, don't give them space to breathe, because that's what we need to be doing. We need to be in their face constantly.
Exactly.
And not let them counterattack, because that's what they want to do. I think Mike said it earlier, where they'll want to counterattack, but we can't let that happen. We have to keep the ball. And, you know, I've picked Scott Parker this week as one of my key players because he's the main person in that Fulham team that wants to keep the ball. Even if he'll pass it back to the goalie, the defence, get it out wide, he wants to keep the ball. And I don't mind playing defensive keep ball if you want. But the only thing that I don't want to see tomorrow is giving the ball to MK Dons. MK Dons will love it if they have the ball tomorrow, and we can't let that happen. I hope Savisa's really, you know, really got it into the players and thought this himself. So keeping the ball is just the main thing for me, and he doesn't really give much away in his pre-match interview about the tactics. But having said that, what manager does? And going back to what David said, by the way, just came into my mind about grinding results out or playing good football. Well, I think grinding results out is the most important thing if you're in a relegation scrap. But tomorrow's different. It's completely different because they're the team below us. We're 1 point above them. We've got a better goal difference than them. We can score goals. And that's why MK Dons won't want us to have the ball, because they know we can score goals.
No, very good point there, Curtis.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, did you have anything else you wanted to add?
So, yeah, just the one thing, I think you said you sort of dismissed this earlier, but I think whoever loses tomorrow will go down.
Okay. Okay, fair enough. You're entitled to your thoughts on that. Curtis, and listen, tomorrow's a huge match. There's no way getting around that. I was just really talking about how he's trying to look at it as a whole. But this match is huge. If they lose this match, they're really going to be up against it. There's no question about it. So if they win the match, they have some breathing room. It's a massive match. I'm not trying to downplay it. I see the value and how important this match is. But I also know that there are seven other matches. It's not the end if they lose, but it really hurts. It hurts huge. It could be the beginning of the end. Let's hope that it's not. Let's hope that they get the victory tomorrow, and we won't be talking about that. All right, guys, let's now go into the preview. And let me give you some information quickly from WhoScored.com, just the records of the teams. First of all, MK Dons are in 22nd. They have 9 victories, 10 draws, 19 losses. They've only scored 32. They've given up 51. They're on a minus 19 goal differential and are on 37 points. Fulham are 21st, 8 victories, 14 draws, 16 losses. We've scored 57, but we've given up 64. We are on a minus 7 goal differential, and we're on 38 points, obviously. Goal differential is a massive difference here, and the amount of goals scored against MK Dons is massive as well. We score a tremendous amount more than they do. All right, just a little information from WhoScored.com on them. Their strengths, they only have one, protecting the lead. Again, this is according to WhoScored.com. Their weaknesses, finishing scoring chances, stopping opponents from creating chances, defending against through ball attacks, defending against skillful players, aerial duels. They're all weak in those areas. Their style, attacking down the left, take long shots, possession football. Opponents play aggressively against them. They play the offside trap. They rotate their first 11, play in their own half, and they do play aggressive. A couple other things I do want to mention. I believe this has been on a few websites. Apparently, reportedly, winger Rob Hall will not be in this match for MK Dons, but a bigger loss, reportedly, starting goalkeeper David Martin has been ruled out. So that would be a massive loss. I believe that was reported from the manager of MK Dons that David Martin has been ruled out. So that is huge in this match. So, again, that's just to give you some basic information. David, I'll start with you. Thoughts on this upcoming match, on the information I just shared with you?
Well, you know, on this case, much as we enjoy looking at these things, again, it's kind of back to my old classic thing, the table doesn't lie, really. You can look at what they're good at and what they're bad at, but obviously they're not very good at anything particularly, because they are where they are. And as you know, and Curtis made a very good point about they don't want us to get the ball because they'd be frightened the fact that we have that power to score the goals potentially. And I think he's right there. This is really where one of these games where perhaps you have to throw caution to the wind in some ways and say, well, look, you know, let's not worry about the opposition too much. You know,
and just play.
We're down there with them, but we have the potential to outscore them. And so we need to be positive. And I think, you know, they're talking about losing a couple of key players there potentially. I know we've talked about these things in the past, and it's come back and bit us when suddenly these players have emerged fit on the day. But, you know.
I know. That's why I'm being cautious by saying it, but this is what's being reported.
But, you know, take whatever you can get, and if they've got a couple of key players missing, all the better. But, you know, I don't think it's not like, you know, when we played Burnley, we had a bit of a plan, and to a point it worked. You know, we tried to beat them. We knew what their strengths were. Unfortunately, on the day, their strengths were too good. But here, you know, they don't have anything really that's better than us, not particularly. You know, they're down where they are because of a reason. But we have that power to score that they don't. That's the one thing that they don't have. Okay, we have that power to concede. I suppose you can turn it the other way. But that's, you know, let's look at, for once, you know, being the glass half full, not half empty or whatever. And it's, you know,
really?
the fact that we can outscore them, not the fact that, you know, the fact that we can out concede them as well.
Wait a minute,
gotta,
David, you're being
take
positive?
It to them, we've got to put them under pressure. Let's not really look too much at what, you know, where they are. Let's look at ourselves, I think.
Okay. Very good there, my friend. All right, Mike, over to you. Thoughts on this? And also, who are your key players tomorrow for Fulham?
I think Dave summed up quite well there. That, you know, they aren't that good. And when we played them at their place, they showed that to me, really. And the stats prove they can't score. We do. Yes, we let a load in. But I said it earlier, you know, we have to take the game to them, so we have to be positive. You know, Birmingham, I know David's not at all keen on the team that was picked at Birmingham. I don't think anyone was, but, you know, it was a team to get a result and an away game at a tough place. We have to pick a different team tomorrow and have a different attitude, and we have to keep the ball, as Curtis said, and we should be able to punish them, because for all our faults, attacking-wise, we're, you know, one of the top six clubs in the country in the championship. So that's what we need to do. Key players, it's always going to be McCormack, isn't it? You know, if he's on fire, then you know, we were usually going to either get a goal from him or he's going to be involved. At Birmingham, I thought he was a little bit out of sorts, you know, so he's going to be key. Parker, and I think Bettinelli as well. Because no matter what team we play, they might have the least number of shots per game in the last century. As soon as they turn up at our doorstep, we'll let them have 20 shots. So, you know, Bettinelli's going to be key. He's got to, you know, have that confidence to come and get the ball, give it out, and we need to have the confidence to keep it as well. So for me, it's Ross and Bettinelli are the key guys, either end of the pitch.
Okay, very good. Curtis, over to you. I think you already mentioned that you thought Scott Parker would be a key player. So besides him, who else are you looking for as being very important tomorrow?
Well, my three to start with are Marcus Bettinelli, Scott Parker, and Ross McCormack. So I've got two.
Just like Mike, right?
Two of Mike's, yeah. So I've gone for the spine of the team, like I did against my Bristol. But I think keeping a clean sheet is vital, so I've picked Marcus for this one. And, you know, like I said earlier, coming back from injury, he'll be itching to go out there. So, it's vital to have to restrict their goals and have a good shot stopper, in there will be key. And, he'll be really looking forward to playing back at the Cottage, so I expect a good game from him tomorrow. Next player is Scott Parker. Sorry, Russ. In games like these, you need experience, I think, and to help organise the players and set pieces, etc. He'll be a key part of the game in that matter, but besides that, he'll be protecting the defence to give them a shield, if you like, that protection that every defender wants and needs to stop conceding goals. And, you know, hopefully he'll be the stopper of any potential counter-attacks before the defence of MK Dons. And apart from that, he'll be good in keeping the ball. And as I said earlier, I picked Scott Parker because he's the most influential at keeping the ball. You know, this slow down and keep ball tactic, even when it's in the attacking third, you see him lurking on the edge of the box. He's getting the ball, shifting it across the other side. So, he'll be vital in in quite a lot of key parts of the game. And the final one I've just said is Ross McCormack. He's one hell of a player and scores some fantastic goals and gets into some good spaces, like we saw against the first goal against QPR, and the goal against Bristol was pretty special. And so yeah, fantastic player. Just he needs to be on form. I think Mike said it a minute ago that if he's on form, we can expect a goal, but not guaranteed, of course. And just something I've noticed over the season, when Fulham have played well, he's played well, and every game we scored four goals, Ross McCormack has scored. So
interesting.
Yeah, that proves that when Fulham plays, he plays. And I think it's also the other way around, mostly anyway. When Fulham play bad, he plays bad.
Wow.
So that's why he hasn't picked up many man in the matches, I don't think. Only two, I think, he's picked up. But anyway, so Scott, Marcus and Ross probably be most influential for me. I was tempted to pick Tom Kearney, but I think we'll be... I'm not sure. I just don't think he'll be as influential tomorrow. I think it's mainly going to be Scott Parker in the middle. It's going to be more influential in the game.
Okay, very interesting tape there, Curtis. Thank you for sharing that. And David, I want to go to you. I want to get your key players, but I'm curious what you make of what Curtis just said. You know, he was throwing it out there that when Ross McCormack plays well and scores, Fulham usually win, and when he doesn't play well, they don't. What are your thoughts on that, and also your key players?
It certainly seems to be a kind of a link like that, because I think Mike and I have both picked up a lot on games where things haven't gone well. You know, Ross has been petulant and you know, sort of we see the negative side of him too much, and you know, he's, I don't know if it's kind of, you know, when Ross plays well, we play well, or if it's kind of the other way around. But yeah, there is a connection of those things in there, really. I think, you know, we see that a lot. Things don't go Ross's way. Most certainly, it seems to have a negative impact on his performance and perhaps on the team as well as a whole. That he doesn't contribute, he becomes very selfish and isolated from the play. So I think, you know, Curtis has certainly, you know, got his finger on something there. The one I'm surprised about, I didn't hear you mention, unless it was when I redialed or when I was daydreaming for a second. I didn't hear anyone mention Tom Kearney, actually, because I think Tom Kearney, really, this is the sort of time for him, because he is, you know, behind a lot of the link-up play and the creativity, and if we're going to create stuff, we need him to be at his best, really, and he's a vital player for us. And, you know, he went on a little, you know, purple patch not so long ago. But Tom Kearney's very much part of that puzzle where, you know, it depends on the team that gets picked. If he's played behind the front two and we play with width and the players who offer the width, you know, are positive, then it all works really well, because Kearney has these outlets. He has the wing-backs or the wide players to play to. He has the front two to play to. So he has these options. But when it doesn't work, when we don't get people forward, we don't get overlapping runs, then it becomes constricted in the middle, and Kearney ends up just, you know, trying to play football, and it's too tight. You know, it's like trying to play 11-a-side football on a 5-a-side pitch or something like that, you know. And I've done that before, and I know how tight it gets in there. And it's great for a player like me who just kicks everybody, because it's easy to kick everyone, because, you know, they're all within reach. But someone who's got a bit of class and you know, wants to run with the ball or stroke the ball around and things, you can't when it gets too tight in there. So you need the wide players to stay wide and to offer you that width and space. And so it'll be interesting to see the formation tomorrow, whether Kearney comes back in off the wing. And I listened to the show before, and Mike said he had a good game at Birmingham, although he played wide, one of his better games there, or his best ever game there. But that's not really where we want him. He's part of that important spine as well. Someone behind him like Parker, doing the dirty work, mopping up, Kearney doing what he does. And of course, whoever's playing up front, obviously normally Ross and Moussa, of course, or, you know, maybe Matt Smith, but I thought that might happen for Birmingham. I thought we might mix it up for that height and strength that we talked about. And although we got height and strength in other parts of the pitch, we didn't see Matt Smith, unfortunately, on that occasion. But it's down the middle, of course, as well. And we have to be strong. But, you know, it's something my son said, and I mentioned it before also. We don't want to be Parker making these last-ditch tackles on the edge of our penalty area. We want to be making these tackles further up the pitch. We want to be playing higher up the pitch so that we're winning the ball or trying to win the ball higher up the pitch. Parker does a great job. We've seen him sliding in, blocking shots, and, you know, nicking the ball in the penalty area, on the edge of the penalty area. But that's too deep. We're already in danger territory there. And if Parker doesn't get it, they've got a clear shot at goal sometimes, or a clear run. And this is why we've been conceding these kind of goals. So we need to keep that further up the pitch. So it's going to be very important that we press them. And you know, it's not just about attacking football. It's about attacking when we haven't got the ball as well. And I think if we can press them further up the pitch, that takes the pressure off the defence. So we need to play a higher line. Perhaps we need to go back to the 3-5-2 formation, or the 3-4-1-2. Play the three centre backs fairly up, and the wing backs really pushed on. I don't know. It's just an idea. And then at least the midfielders are pressing into their half, not kind of waiting for them to be running at our penalty box. It's always about the spine of the team with Fulham, I think, really, though.
Okay, very good, David. And I agree with you 100%. This goes back to a little while ago when I said we just need to press them, not let this team breathe. You cannot let this team feel they even have a chance to win this game. And that means, like you said, a higher line. Do not let this team even remotely get the ball. You control the match. You're at home. You let them know that they're not in this match. And I think that's it's going to be the intent. They need to go out there and not let this team feel that they're even going to sniff 3 points in this match, even a draw. They shouldn't even feel even remotely in this match. Fulham need to take it to them. From the minute the match begins to the minute that it ends, this is their match. They should win this match. All right, Mike, I'm going to start with you. Give me your starting 11.
Okay, sort of played around. So this is my starting 11, not necessarily what I think he's going to pick, but I would go back to the wing backs and obviously Bettinelli in goal. The three centre backs from right to left, I would go Stearman, because he was the best player against Birmingham, so he shouldn't be dropped. And although he played right back there, you know, he's going to be right sided of the centre backs. Madel in the middle, and then I would actually pick Ream on the left. So I'd have those three as our centre backs. Wing backs, well, Fredericks starts on the right. And I might surprise you with the left wing back, but I'd actually go with Van Beretta. I'm not a massive fan of him, but he likes to get forward. He's got a good left foot cross, you know, he does hit it well, and it gets him a little bit away from our 18-yard box, so, you know, he's less of a liability. So, you know, attacking-wise, I'd go with him. Midfielders, Parker has to start. And it's who plays next to him. You know, Ince did well the other week, but that was in a, you know, defensive formation, so I'm not really sure I'd want Parker and Ince playing. And then I think it's a spin a coin, really, between Tunnicliffe and O'Hara. But I think I'd go with Tunnicliffe for his energy and O'Hara to maybe come on for Parker later. And then okay. Kearney with a free roll. And then Ross and Dembele up top. And, that would be the team I'd go for. And I'd played around with a couple of other things, but I think that's possibly our best options. I mean, you know, O'Hara might get you a goal more than Tunnicliffe will, but that's where I'm sort of umming and ahhing at the moment. But, that's my team that I would go for.
It's very interesting. I'm fixated on Amorebieta as a wing back. I can't get past. I'm just like thinking, like, that's interesting. Curtis, over to you. What are your thoughts on Mike's starting 11, and how about your own starting 11?
Well, I think Mike's gone for a strong team. Well, not strong team in form. Stearman's been good against Birmingham. Maddle's been good recently. Betts has been good. Ream, he came on against Bristol and he was okay, I thought.
Parker, yeah, say no more. Tunnicliffe, yeah. Kearney, Moose and Ross, yeah. So he's done pretty well with that, I think. But Morbieta, left wing back, not too sure about that one, but like he just said, it keeps him away from our box, which is quite good. So my starting 11 is same formation. Marcus Bettinelli in goal, promising keeper and more informed than Andy Lonergan, I think I said earlier, and he'll be looking forward to this occasion. Did well against Birmingham, so definitely put him in there. Left wing back, Luke Garber. Luke's not actually been as good as I thought when we signed him, but he's quite disappointing. And James Husband, he's been better there when he was with us, but now he's gone from his loan spell. Luke has to be first choice. You can't really put, I don't think, the Morbieta left wing back, and certainly not Cavahan or anyone else. So has to be Luke. Left centre back, Dan Byrne. I wasn't really sure with this, Byrne or Ream. On the one hand, you had the heading ability of Dan Byrne. On the other, you had the calm, collected Tim Ream, who could keep more possession. By the way, Tim Ream had a baby, so congratulations to him. Sorry. That was recently, so just thought I'd say that. And I chose Byrne. I think he'll be better when we're having the set pieces. So I picked him because, like I said earlier, you don't want MK Dons near our goal. So if we got danger, clear it out and keep it out. So I thought he was better than that, so I picked him. Centre back, Michael Maddill, marvellous choice really. I debated Ream and Byrne, like I said, left centre back, and Fernando Morbieta and Stearman at right centre back. So he was the only solid put in there. So he's the most complete defender, I think. He can head, he can keep possession, he can keep calm and collected. And I really like Maddo and hope we sign him on a permanent in the summer. And especially with Dan Byrne contract expiring, whether he'll sign another one or not, we need someone like Maddo. So right centre back, picking Fernando and Morbieta. He played the last time we played at the Cottage with Dan Byrne, Maddo and Morbieta. It was in this order, so I thought we'd go for the recognised where we've already played. So picking, Nando, you say, well, what stupid thing is he going to do? And I've just put him in there because he's statistically we've been better with him than out him, which is quite surprising, seeing as the amount of penalties he gives away. So I was surprised there. But Stearman, we've been a bit more leaky with him there, so chose to leave him out. However, he was good against Birmingham. And my next one is Ryan Fredericks. He's impressed me a lot this year, and especially at performances at Reading away and Bristol. So no-brainer for me. Jazz Richards has been poor, I think, this season, and I expected much more. And he can't play wing-back, so Fredericks, Rohan Ince, in the left centre mid. His debut at the Cottage was outstanding in the first half. He was strong in his tackles. He was creative. He got the ball out wide. He didn't mess around, and he did really well. So as well as that goal, give him a little bit of confidence. I know, keep a mistake, but a bit of confidence there, keep him in. Got the energy as well. Parker, captain, leader. What a football player, I think, even though he's getting on a bit. He can keep the ball by twisting and turning all day long. That's just his nature, and keep the possession. So say no more, really. And then gone with the three centre mids rather than Kearney roaming. We could change that if it didn't work. So that's easily changeable. But yeah, Kearney, creative, sees things and sometimes dictates the way we play going forward. Signing of our summer, I think, and yeah, he can last the whole game as well, so it's not an extra substitute. And the strike, Ross McCormack and Moussa Dembélé. So hopefully Ross McCormack on form, hopefully Thun team on form, and Dembélé and McCormack can bag a few goals for us, and we beat MK thoroughly tomorrow.
Okay, very good there, Curtis. All right, David, over to you.
Well, yeah, this is kind of a combination between what I think he'll pick and what I'd like. I'm gonna, like Mike, I'm going to throw a completely mad one in there, I think, just so
you, okay.
So you can't say, I can't say 11 out of 11 tomorrow and you say David Hulley right again. So I'm going to put a mad one in there as well, just for you. But I think 3-4-1-2, Bettinelli in goal, three centre-backs. I think I tend to agree that Stearman deserves to keep his place. It's just whether he plays as right centre-back or, as, in fact, centre-back, I'm not sure. So it'll be between him and Maddle for those two positions. I think we'll see Amad Bieta as left centre-back, though. I don't see him up the wing. I can understand what Mike's saying. As mad as it sounds, he actually has looked, you know, half-decent there because he does like to go forward and he can actually put in a good cross on his left foot. But I think we'll see him in a defensive role, and I think he'll bring back Garbutt at left wing back to give him a chance because he is supposedly the better suited player to that position. Likewise, Ryan Fredericks at right wing back with, as I say, with the three, Maddle, Stearman and Amber Bieta in front of Bettinelli. Centre midfield, Parker's got to play, I'm sure, and it is a toss-up between, really, O'Hara and Tunnicliffe. And there's kind of pluses and minuses for both, but I think Tunnicliffe maybe just for that kind of energy and charging down, hopefully to make the job a bit easier for Tom Kearney in the free roll in front of them. And then I'm gonna stick with my mad one for Birmingham and just because it, you know, as I say, I can't be right every week, and I'm gonna say Matt Smith with Ross McCormack, just to give us a chance to do something different. As mad as
okay.
it sounds, and it's say like Mike's one sounded mad, but there is some rationale to it. And my rationale is that it gives us the opportunity to play it differently if we have to. We can play to feet, we can play it in the air, we can get crosses in, and it kind of gives us a little bit of everything. And I think someone like Matt Smith, maybe roughing their defence up and giving them a few questions, may actually, you know, keep the ball away from our goal a little bit more, I hope. You know, his ability to kind of do that, you know, we'll keep them concentrating on him more than coming our way. But I don't know. I'm sure he won't do it. I'm sure he'll pick Dembélé anyway, but I'm just going to say that. Because Mike started the trend and Curtis continued with Amad Bieta at right centre-back, so I'm going to finish it off with Matt up front there.
Okay, very good. I like thinking outside the box. We, all three of you have done that very... Very interesting starting 11s from all three co-hosts today. All right, guys, we only have a few minutes left. Curtis, I know that you were going to be looking on Twitter for some interesting thoughts from some Fulham supporters. I want to give you a chance for a couple
yeah.
minutes to share what you found before we go to predictions.
Well, just the general thing was that it was so important, and Jack Kelly has tweeted his team: Bettinelli, Fredericks, Byrne, Maddle, Nando, Garbs, Parker, O'Hara, disagreeing with Mike and David there, Kearney, McCormack, Dembélé. Abron Smith said, Fulham desperately need to beat MK Dons. Sad to see how far we've fallen in the Championship. Six-pointer, FFC, Fulham FC. And then there's a bit of a joke with Paul Chadwick, regarding the Ross being injured tweet, happy April Fool's Day, FFC fan. So that was quite nice of him to scare me this morning. And Rhys Benjamin, if the reports of Khan sacking Rig are true, not April Fool's because dated the 30th of March, then I'll be very happy. Well, so will I, Rhys. Say no more. And Lauren Twilley, she said, 2 days until the biggest game of the season. Come on, you whites. With a couple of emojis in there. And there's a few more around, but I didn't write them down and didn't take notes of them because most of them were saying what we're all thinking. Big game, big game, probably the most important game of the season, and we need a win.
Okay, very good there, my friend. Very good. All right. It's time to go to predictions. First, I'm going to start with the Cottage Talk Twitter page. This is out of 164 votes. Win, 65%. Draw, 14%. Loss, 21%. Very interesting. On the Twitter page, let's now go to the Facebook page. I have several predictions, so I'm going to go through them fairly quickly. Tom Ward says 5-0 to Fulham. Stephen O'Keefe says 2-0 to Fulham. Lee Grimson says 3-1 to Fulham. Simon Haneed, 4-1 to Fulham. Roger Lewis, 5-0 to Fulham. Guy Rofe says, my heart says 1-0 to Fulham, but I'm hoping we thrash him. Franchise Fulham to go down at the end of it all. Okay, Craig Anthony Owl says 2-0 to Fulham. Alan Cox, 4-2 to Fulham. Colin Bugler says, something tells me we'll win 4-1, but I wouldn't be surprised with a 0-0 scoreline. Tomina Rahman says 1-0. Ben Reed, briefcase Ben, sadly I have lost the faith and can't see us winning this. There is just no heart in this gaggle of individuals. A long cry from the team that beat Juve all those years ago. 1-0 to MK Dons. Gary Cooper says, if it's the same conviction against Birmingham, I could see it. 3-1 to Fulham if we lock and turn off. I could see another Bristol City result. Gary Cooper says, hopefully it will be a tale two good halves for us. Liam Ballard says 2-1 to Fulham. Alex Lowy says 2-1 to MK Dons. Maureen O'Leary says, we got to believe 2-0 to Fulham. Alf Russell says 4-0 to Fulham. Sean McElroy says, is relegation and shame a prediction? Okay, Marcus Michaelis, a dramatic 2-1 win in the last minute after being 1-0 down. Mav Kopchewski says 3-1 to MK Dons. Let's see what else we got. Chris Davidson says, I will say what I always say and never get it wrong. It won't end 0-0, okay? And Thea Evans says, probably a loss, but it pains me. Those are the predictions from the Fulham supporters on the Cottage Talk Facebook page. Very interesting. All right, Mr. Holly, I'm going to start with you. What's your prediction?
Well, I have to say that I'm embarrassed to say that once again I'm agreeing with Briefcase Ben. And I guess our friend in New Zealand, Anthea, I just have this terrible dread that it's all going to go wrong and we're going to lose again, I'm afraid. And I am one of those who clicked lose on the on your Cottage Talk poll. So I do apologise, guys. Please hope I'm wrong.
Okay. What's your prediction, David, for score?
I really don't want to think about it. You know, it's just it's depressing enough thinking we're not going to win, but
okay,
something like one of these, you know, 1-0s or 2-1s perhaps to MK Dons. I just see us screwing it up. I don't know why, because I think we've got the more than enough ammunition to beat them, but I'm frightened that he won't pick the right team or the right balance or that the nerves will get to them again or something, and we'll just end up shooting ourselves in the foot like we have done. Just hope I'm wrong. I just hope I'm wrong.
Okay.
But, you know, other fans have obviously got this vibe as well, as we've seen. Even people like, you know, Ben, who's told us off in the past for being too negative, you know, and he can even see that. And I can see it too, I'm afraid.
Okay. Fair enough, David. No problem predicting a loss, and let's hope you're wrong. All right, Curtis, what's your prediction?
2-2. I was one of the ones that voted on Twitter as a draw.
Okay.
So I was too scared to predict this, and when you when you said, "Oh, what's your prediction for the match?" I was thinking, "Oh God, here we go again." Because the last prediction I made was Bristol City, and look how that ended up. Sorry. So I was a bit scared to predict this, so I've gone 2-2. I really hope I'm wrong, because I really want to beat them tomorrow more than I have done any match apart from the two QPR ones this season. So a win would be a huge bonus, but yeah, I'm sticking my 2-2 draw.
Okay, very good. Mike, over to you.
Well, Russ, I think it's going to be left for me and you to be a bit positive for tomorrow. I'm going to go for a 3-1 win to Fulham. We won't keep a clean sheet, because we don't. And but I think we've just got too much firepower for them. And all I would ask is, you know, those fans who are going tomorrow, have a bit of patience. Don't get on the players' backs if they make a mistake. We need to be united from the beginning and support the team, whatever team is picked. So even from 2 o'clock, we might look at the 11 and go, oh, I'm not really keen on that. But we need to give the whole club, the team, the players, the manager, and even fans around us, you know, we all need to be supporting and pushing the right way tomorrow. It is a key game. We can underplay it. We can say there's 8 games in total. But I have to agree with Curtis. I think whoever wins tomorrow, the other team will get relegated eventually. So yeah, 3-1, be united and come on, you Whites.
Okay, very good. All right, time for my prediction. I've been going back and forth on this, but I am going to go with the wonderful Mr. Mike Gregg, who predicted 3-1. So I'm going to go with that. I'm not going to predict who's going to score, but I was going to go for a little bit more of a thumping, but I am going to go for 3-1. I think that's I think that would be a convincing victory. It's still a nervy victory, but I'm going to go 3-1. I just see us winning tomorrow. And Curtis brought up a good point, and Mike, you backed it, because I don't want to think of the worst if they lose, but this is a massive match. If they lose, they are really in danger of being relegated. So I understand why you guys are saying that, that you both feel that they would be relegated if they lose. It is a massive match. There's no question about it. And I'm sorry if I came off as trying to downplay it. I really wasn't, but I'm nervous like all three of you are. All right, guys, final thoughts. We only have a few minutes. First, I will start with you, Curtis. Before I get your final thoughts, I just want to just say thank you for your honesty on the show. You're very honest. You called me out. I don't have any problem with you calling me out. So, again, thank you for doing this. Any final thoughts, my friend?
Thank you for having me. And just if you go into the game tomorrow, be loud, be proud, support the team, whatever, and hopefully, sing and shout and support the team and just let's hope and pray for the 3 points.
Okay, very good. David, over to you.
Yeah, well, just thanks. Good to do a show with you guys. Curtis, it's nice to do a show with you again. And Mike, great to be back with you. And, of course, with you as well, Russ. And I echo what Curtis said. But at the end of the day, if it all goes wrong, I'm sure Mike and myself, and probably you, Curtis, as well, we'll still be there next year. Our season tickets will be cheaper. There'll be no more international breaks to worry about. Every cloud has a silver lining.
Wow. David's looking at it like that. Very interesting. All right, Mike, we have only 2 minutes left. What are your final thoughts, my friend?
No, it's been a good show, and just echo what the other guys said. It really is. I can't stress how much it really is important that the fans tomorrow get behind the team. They are nervous. We're making them nervous because we're showing that, and they get to that 20 yards out. They're scared to make that pass, that mistake. So we have to, if the ball ends up back at the centre backs or even back to the goalkeeper, if you want to play Matt Smith up front, then fine. Play Matt Smith up front, knock the ball, it's going to get lost, they're going to have the ball. And the one thing that Dons are good at is keeping it, and we're not good when teams have the ball. So, let's be patient tomorrow. That's the key for me.
Okay, and Mike, I'm just going to just say this. I just want to second pretty much everything that you said. I thought you said it very eloquently. I think all three of you really had great final thoughts. So I just want to just mention that before we go and just say to the three of you, this was a great show. I've missed doing this show. This has actually been wonderful for me. I love doing this show. So I just want to thank you guys for putting on a tremendous show. But it is time to go. For David, Mike, and Curtis, I'm Russ Coleman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk. Cheers, guys.
Cheers, everyone. Good night.
Thank you.
Good night, guys.
Cheers. Good night.
Boys.